Let me introduce Dean. Dean W. Becken is finance executive and business owner. Dean has over 29 years of successful experience leading, building, and strengthening companies while providing a solid accounting and financial structure. He has achieved this by developing big-picture strategy and translating vision into plans that achieve exceptional results. I think that would apply to almost anything of life, so looking forward to hearing you share that. Dean has been a CFO of Summit Industrial Construction, LLC in Alpharetta, growing the company from over $20 million to over $60 million in annual sales, co-founder and co-owner and CFO of Integration Systems, LLC of Deerfield Beach, Florida, where he grew company revenues from zero to over $30 million in annual sales, and co-owner and CFO of Inglot & Stubbs, Atlanta, where he helped grow the company from $20 million to over $140 million in annual sales. He's also worked at Waste Management, San Antonio, and Nankin, Schnoll and Company, purchased by BDO Seedman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Dean has a BBA in accounting from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and his former professional affiliations include Certified Public Accountant, Construction Financial Management Association President, and Chairman of the Board of Daystar Foundation. Dean and his wife, Arlene, have lived in Polo for 3 years and lived in South Florida and Woodstock, Georgia before that. Dean also goes to the Vine Community Church, which I think is where we connected, and then found out he was at Polo. And those of you who know me and the Polo breakfast, if you live in Polo, I will ask you to speak. So no is a good answer, by the way, but Dean was glad to share. So please welcome Dean Becken.
Well, like Hein said, he said, you know, we do attend the same church. And the other day, a couple of weeks ago, he came to me and said, Dean, would you mind speaking? And the first thought went through my mind was, you know, I've met these guys, all of you, and I said, these guys are successful. Why in the world do you want to talk to me? You must be reaching down, not up. And I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. So let's see what happens. He asked me to follow a certain format, and certainly my background, professional career background. As he said, I have my degree at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I started out in physics. Believe it or not, I really enjoyed math. I've always been very good at numbers, very good at concepts. And I started that and realized that those guys were really serious. And I thought, this is not for me. Plus, there was no women. There were no women physicists. That wasn't going to work. So I thought, no, that's not going to work. And I had a neighbor who took an interest in me, he and his wife. And he said, have you ever considered accounting? And I spent some time with him. His name was Paul. And Paul said, give it a shot. So I took a few classes in accounting and found out that I loved it, absolutely loved it. And there were women in there. So that was another good thing. So I thought, okay, I'll follow that up. And that's how I really got involved in accounting. Paul also worked at a local accounting firm. And by the time I was a junior in college, he said, why don't you consider working for us? We need some help. And I said, well, that's one good way to see if I like it or not. Let's try actually doing it. And I did. And I really enjoyed it. After I graduated, I spent 5 years there. In the middle of all that, it was kind of cool. My company purchased another company in Phoenix, Arizona. And remember, I lived in Milwaukee at the time, very cold, very windy. Phoenix, not cold, not windy. And I thought, oh, that's good. I think I'll try to go there. So an open door was made available to me, and me and another guy applied, and we got the position. So I went down from Milwaukee to Phoenix, Arizona, which was a very cool transition. A couple things that I began to realize as I practiced accounting is, one, I still liked it. But two, I had a strong feeling that the clients I was serving made a lot more money than I did. And I thought, what am I doing this for? I want to be where they are. So I got out of public accounting and tried to go into private. And to do that, you have to start somewhere. So to get that process started, I applied for a position via mail with Waste Management. Waste Management is a trash hauling company, a Fortune 500 company. And I spent close to 3 years there. Again, I learned a lot. I learned about the day-to-day operations, how things work every day in the world of accounting, and frankly, in the world of business. what I discovered is that I did not like working for a Fortune 500 company. It drove me nuts. I've never seen such, at the time, seen ridiculous decision-making. And they never really listened to us, and it just got ridiculous. So this is not for me. This is not for me. I need to get out of here. But before I left, I had the opportunity to meet my bride of 27 years. I met her. This always fascinates me. You know, talk to people how they meet their spouses. You'll hear some of the most fascinating stories. I met my wife at a dance studio. She is a fabulous dancer. Just fabulous. Any style, Latin, country. She can do it all. I can't, however. I went there to meet women. Check. That one worked. So we've been married for 27 years. The day, literally, the day after we got married, we moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I don't recommend that transition, by the way, but we moved to Atlanta, Georgia. I had an opportunity through, again, my first neighbor, Paul, who still works for the company. I contacted him and said, I love this private world, but I want to get into a smaller company where I can help call the shots. And he put me in touch with the owner of Inglet & Stubbs, a gentleman named Ray Inglet, marvelous man, learned so much from him. He hired me, and I got to fulfill my dreams. I got to not only do the accounting, but help run the company, and I loved every second of it. I spent 12 years there. I served on a board of directors. I learned a lot about growing business, and frankly, I learned a lot about growing people. And you cannot separate the two. If you want to grow a business, focus on the people. They are the ones that make the business work. As I said, we went from $20 to $140 million in 12 years. Very, very exciting. And it got to the point where people started to knock on the doors and say, would you be interested in being purchased by somebody? And the first couple offers were like, no way. Well, one of the offers we just couldn't say no way to. It was a company out of Toronto, Canada, that bought us. And myself, the CEO, and a few other people flew up there to meet with these guys. And it was a fascinating meeting. We had lawyers, both on one side, our side and their side. And every time they came up with an idea, a lawyer would shut it down, either theirs or ours. It was automatic. And finally, Jeff, my CEO at the time, said, okay, that's enough. You and you leave. They were the attorneys. They were gone. So Jeff and the other guys would come up with a deal, and I'm a CFO, right? So Jeff would structure a deal, and I would take it back of a napkin, and I would interpret what he just said. I'd put the numbers down. Jeff, you said, I'd write it down. We'd take a break. I'd go to Jeff and said, on my napkin, real high tech, went on my napkin and said, this is what you said. This is what he said. We went back and forth. We did a deal using the back of a napkin. To me, it's really cool. I think that is so cool. And I got to be a part of that. So that was very, very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Well, it was good and bad in that we sold the company. I took a year off. I was a part owner of the company. I could benefit from it financially. I needed some time away to kind of clear my head. And people asked me, well, what did you do in a year off? You know, that's a good question. Some of you know me. I'm an avid tennis player. Played a lot of tennis, but that gets old after a while. The other thing that I really tried to do is I spent a lot of time with the Lord. I am a Christian. I spent a lot of time reading my Bible. I spent a lot of time reading books about the Bible. I've read several hundred books during that time to kind of get a better understanding of what all this Christianity stuff is all about. I also spent a lot of time with people, both men and women. I wanted to know what made them tick. You know, I think a certain way. How do you think? You know, I know how my wife thinks. How do you think? I wanted to learn that. I wanted to know about people. Well, after a time, I had another buddy of mine says, hey, you're not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. Let's start up another company. It's right down my alley. I said, okay, let's do that. And that was a company called ISIS, Integration Systems. It was ISIS before ISIS became a bad name. I always got to clarify that. So you like, started. ISIS, it's your fault. You know, no.
It's with a Y, right?
ISYS. It was a premier IBM business partnership. And there was four of us at the time. One guy actually ended up leaving, so we ended up with three. We sold all the IBM equipment and services, excluding the Z series, which is their top of the line. We sold everything else. We started up an operation in South Florida, but we also did work in New York, Puerto Rico, and eventually United Kingdom, which was really challenging. I loved it. We were very successful. As Heinz said, we went from zero to 30 million. Again, that's something I love to do. And then over time, I made a bad decision. I became yoked, if you will. My partners were not believers, and that was a mistake. It was time for me to leave. So they purchased me. They bought me out, which was fine. I took another year off, and I said, okay, what do I want to do? You know, what am I going to do? And I kept the same theme up. Spent some time with the Lord, spent time learning about people. As I said earlier, I have a cabin up here in Blue Ridge. I've had it for a number of years. When I wasn't on my time off at ISIS in South Florida, I would come up to the cabin. We'd spend a week or two, you know, a couple times a year. And I noticed that when we had to go back to South Florida, we really got depressed. I didn't want to go back to South Florida, and I just didn't like it. So it dawned on me, gee, Dean, don't you think I ought to live in Atlanta? Ding, ding. Makes sense. So we decided to look for an opportunity up here. Through another friend of mine, he hooked me up with another local construction company, spent 2 years there, helped grow that company. That was fun. The problem was that myself and the CEO didn't always see eye to eye. We certainly had different business philosophies, and I was working anywhere between 90 and 100 hours a week. It was beginning to really affect me personally, professionally, and realized that I could not sustain this. It was time to move on. So I left that company. About that time, May of last year, May 2015, I got a phone call from my parents, from my mom. She said, Dean, we got a challenge. Your dad, who is 85, was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And it's a very late time in life to get that disease. Most people get that in their early 50s. But he's got it, and I could hear from my mother's voice that she was clearly in distress. It was a real challenge for her to help deal with my dad. So my wife and I decided to fly out there and see what was going on. They lived in San Antonio. We spent probably 24 hours with them and realized that they can't do this. So we invited them to live with us here in Polo. It took them all about 10 minutes to make the decision. We went ahead. We owned that house in San Antonio. That was our house, my wife and I. So we had to prepare it for selling. We had to get the house ready to be moved, to be sold. I didn't know this at the time, but I found out very quickly that my dad is a pack rat. And unbelievable. I've never seen so much stuff crammed in such a small space. He had an affinity for golf balls. My dad organized and established the very first golf course in Universal City. It was his baby from start to finish. It's called Orchard Hills and exists today. But because he did all this, people knew he liked golf, so they'd give him golf balls. Well, my job, of course, was to clean the house, get ready for sale. I walked out in the garage. Guys, I cannot believe the number of golf balls he had. Everything I opened up had a golf ball in it. Everything. I opened up a tool chest. It was filled with golf balls. No tools. Lots of golf balls. I got to the attic, and I'm about to open up the attic door, and my dad says, Dean, you might be a little angry with me. Okay. I opened up the attic door. Gentlemen, I've never seen so many golf balls in my life. They all fell out. We had hundreds of golf balls bouncing around the garage floor, out into the driveway. They were everywhere. So there's lots of challenges like that we had to face. My parents are with us now, been here since August of last year. We'll talk about this later, but make it a priority, guys. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do what's right. Transition, you know, what happened during all those job changes and where am I now? What have I learned? It's real important to me to become selective about what I do and who I do it with. I've discovered I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a Fortune 500 guy. It drove me nuts. I have a real desire to grow companies, but frankly, I have a greater desire to grow people. That's what I like to do. That is my passion. So what I want to do is find opportunities to do both. And it's interesting, you know, how you're a career path that you follow. I had a great love for numbers. which translate into great love for accounting, and then business, and then ultimately people. It's all about people. One of the things that I try to emphasize is, you know, do what you're good at, do what you enjoy, but I still encourage anyone to go through open doors. You know, the Lord is very good at giving us opportunities. You know, and it's usually something that we're not initially overly comfortable with. You know, He's not going to give us the easy route. He gives us the hard route. That seems to be His style, His way of dealing things. And I've had a lot of open doors put in front of me. And I made it my goal, if you will, to go through them and not be controlled by fear. Take a look. I can always say no. I can always turn around and go the other direction if it's not for me. But when He opens the door, I want to go through it. I don't want to have to go back in my life and say, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you just try it? You know, I'm learned. Go through them. I can always go back. The other thing that I think is really, really critical for people is pour your life into the lives of others. I cannot encourage that enough. And looking back at my life, in my career, I've had so many men come alongside me and teach me, guide me, direct me. And I look across this room right now, I've had a chance to talk to many of you, not all of you, but I see an enormous amount of successful people here. Very successful men, not only professionally, but personally. And both speak highly of all those that are here. You know, when like I said earlier, I spent a lot of time studying the Bible, but also studying people. And I've learned that there's a lot of hurting people out there, particularly men. Particularly men. We want to be the tough, macho people. We never get angry. We never upset. We never cry. We're never hurt. That's a bunch of hooey. Doesn't work. Take time out, guys, to look around and offer yourself to others. You know, don't have to be anything fancy. You know, have a cup of coffee for breakfast with them. Have some lunch with them. Have a few beers after work. I cannot begin to tell you how meaningful and how successful that stuff has been for me. There's very little things in life to me more satisfying than helping another human being, helping them reach their potential, especially men. I had one gentleman that I got to know. He is a tennis professional down in South Florida. We spent 7 years together. He would call me every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and we would talk for 1 hour for 7 years. He had a very interesting lifestyle, one I certainly wouldn't encourage, and it was catching up with him. And to his credit, he listened to what I say. To the Lord's credit, I said some things that were meaningful to him. Over time, he started to really grow and develop. As a matter of fact, one of the coolest things is I got to meet his wife-to-be one day. And a sweet lady, gorgeous lady, just wonderful. And the best thing of all is they asked me to marry them. So I performed the marriage ceremony. In Florida, you can do so as a notary. So I got my notary certificate and I married them. Gentlemen, awesome experience. It is one thing to get married. That too is great, don't get me wrong. But to actually perform the ceremony, that is cool. Interestingly enough, we had another friend who just decided to get married. They were living together. Their 12-year-old girl, their daughter, 12-year-old daughter said, hey, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing this. He goes, you're right. Let's get married. I married them within a week. I thought that was pretty cool too. So again, an open door, go through it. The last thing I just want to touch base on this thing is make God a priority in your life. You know, spend time with Him, learn about Him, find out what He has for you. He also asked me to find out, give a little bit of indication of what I'm doing now. We started up another company with a friend of mine who was in the educational business. It didn't work out as well. Sales are tough, and I think you and I talked about that. There was enough revenue for him, but certainly not for two of us, so I kind of bowed out of that, let him do his thing. Right now I'm looking at purchasing another company with a friend of mine so I can help grow them, to grow that company to its potential, and more importantly, to grow the people to their potential. That is my passion. How do I grow the company? How do I grow the people? That's it, guys. Microcosm. All right, any questions?
You doing any consulting?
Sure. Yeah. The opportunity presents itself, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the most important thing you've learned about working with people? The one or two most important things?
I think the most critical thing we can do with people is a very simple thing. Listen to them. Listen to them. I've come across so many people in business that were basically ignored. They weren't being heeded. And many of them had some brilliant ideas, just no one paid them any attention. And I think the other thing is come alongside them. You know, the Bible would call that loving them, but I, you know, in simple terms, come alongside them. You know, don't ignore them. Be a part of their lives, even people that work with you and for you. You know, it's the benefit of that is immense. And it serves an incredible, it builds a lot of loyalty. You know, when people know you care, they'll do anything. And when they know I care, I'll do anything for them. You know, it's just human courtesy. It's nothing magical. Just listen and come alongside them.
We shared at our table just briefly before everything. Hines, you were talking about some divine intervention. You had signals and everything else that just were right out there, and they were like flashing lights. Mm-hmm. Did you have any in yours that were just like flashing lights and say, oh my God, how did this happen?
Absolutely. You know, prayer is a priority. You know, I spent a lot of time in prayer, spent a lot of time reading the Word. And he'll speak to that. You know, there's a shimmering that occurs to me when the page on the scripture or the Bible just kind of starts shimmering. It almost glows like, oh, I better pay attention to that. You know, exactly. I better listen to this. But a lot of times I'll confirm with people. I have a coach. You and I, we talked about this at our table. I have a personal coach that I've had for 15 years. We talk every Thursday morning. She's an independent person that I can bounce ideas off of, and I'll say I'm thinking about this, and we talk about it. So it's good to have someone in your life who knows you, who loves you enough to speak the truth, who will bounce ideas off of, and not afraid to say that's not a good idea, or to encourage you if it is.
One more?
Being here. Comments you'd like to share about having your parents live with you and what you're doing?
Great question. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to honor our father and mother. And I can't think of a better way to honor them to invite them into your life. That's the good news. The challenge is, you know, you left your home for a reason. You know, you're grown up. You're looking to do other things. They're grown up, do other things. I think for Arlene and I, for my wife and I, we've learned a tremendous amount about grace. Tremendous amount. My dad, like I said, has Parkinson's. He can do very little on his own anymore. We have to cut his food, and you know, we have to help him walk. If you come here on Sunday mornings, it's a big thing to my dad to go to the Sunday brunch. It's very good, by the way. So you'll see us with him. You know, we kind of bring him arm in arm. My wife is the most awesome caregiver I've ever seen in my life. She really knows how to care for people. And she just waits on him hand and foot. And what I've discovered is, as you love them, your capacity to love others is greatly increased, greatly improved. It's a great thing to love people. You know, again, we're back to that caring for people thing. And I know that the Lord will see to it. He'll meet these needs. He'll bring me to another place because I was obedient to him. My wife and I have both been. I don't do it for that reason, but I know it's coming. And so I would encourage you strongly to do the right thing. Don't worry about the cost. You know, don't worry about that. That'll take care of itself. Do the right thing. Yes, sir.
Like you, I majored in accounting, but I couldn't copy over a income tax return without having at least two transpositions.
I understand that.
So I decided that accounting wasn't really for me. I wound up being a personnel director for a bank in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at age 40, I guess, I discovered that I had dyslexia. I always knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what.
Yeah.
So I would have never made it in accounting.
But it looks like you did well in HR, so that's a good thing.
I, I never could understand why two words to replace one was a good thing. You know, it was always personnel. You knew exactly what you were talking about. Human relations is two words. And
yeah.
But what did you do with all those golf balls?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my dad had a lot of friends. He was the mayor of the city.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. It was interesting because my wife, before we got married, served on the city council. She was a city councilwoman for the same city. As a matter of fact, my position in waste management, I used that as a way to introduce myself to her. You gotta work the angles here. So when we left San Antonio, because of his affiliation, my dad became mayor. Since my dad was the mayor, he knew tons and tons of people, tons of people. So, and they knew that he was a golfer. So they come over, you know, during our cleaning up the garage and say, look, you know, do you think we can help you with? And I said, yeah, take some of these golf balls. So we were just kind of hundreds of, you play golf, here you go. You're thinking about playing golf, here you go. You know, I mean, just, we gave them to anybody that we could think of. And I have a bunch in my basement. Dad pretty much insisted, you know, so I got a few hundred in my basement. I don't really play that much golf, so I'm good for life.
Great. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
What a great story. You know, I'm involved in a technology meeting where we had a young man talk about, he was a millennial, and talked about millennials, and it was very, very inspirational to hear it from his perspective. And basically what I determined, my takeaway was the young kids today want just what we want, always wanted. They just want it faster. And there's really nothing wrong with that, except, and especially with the technology, that's possible. But again, it comes down to listening. And I asked the young man after the meeting, I said, what does an old boomer like me have to offer a millennial? And he said, how to do relationships. And it really kind of surprised me, but there's something that we take for granted that we've learned over the years. Some of the young people don't understand as well because they're always working through devices to communicate with people. And impressed me with the fact that some of the things we don't think are very important things that we've learned are very, very important to some other people. And the key is to connect with them and to listen to them, as Dean said. The other thing that I think is true is to build trust. And I heard someone say something that always has stuck with me about when Jesus was on the earth. He said the disciples belonged before they believed. And a lot of times we want to make relationships conditional. You know, if you believe this, this, and this, or if you think this, this, and this, then you can join my sphere of influence. But it kind of works the other way. When people know that they're accepted and they're, you know, they're valued, and there isn't a human being on this planet that's not an amazing person. And so, anyway, great sharing. And any of you that, how many have spoken here? Just go ahead, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. And the others, don't feel guilted, but I will be calling you. But if you do know of somebody, or you'd like to share your life story, and that's exactly what Dean did. Just your story of your life and what you've learned, and we'd love to have you share. My hope is that one year I will have the speakers for the whole year identified ahead of time so that we can put that information in the Polo newsletter. The Polo newsletter is very, very gracious to put notice of the men's breakfast in it, but it would be nice to have a lineup of speakers that we could put some bios there that might draw some other interest. Have you a cup of coffee. Thanks for coming, and appreciate, thank you, Dean, for your great talk. We appreciate that. Have a great day. Thank you.